How many of you know what I'm going to talk about tonight? The worship team didn't, but they sang it. Pre-service didn't, but we dwelt in it. I'm stretching myself tonight, because you usually hear me talk about Hebrew, but tonight I'm going to try to speak Greek. And you can literally say that's Greek to me, because it was for me. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Jesus was singing this over us, but not quite the way we're going to read it in the Amplified version of Matthew 10:38. And he who does not take his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me, is not worthy of me. In Matthew 16:24, in the Amplified, we read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'What if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple? He must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and, if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me.'" This is what he was just singing over us about. It's all about him. Do you know what the largest religion in the world is? Want to hazard a guess? Agnosticism, atheism, ism, polytheism. It is said there are 8.1 billion people in the world today, and the world's largest religion has close to 8.1 billion adherents. It is the religion of self. As we see in these two verses from Matthew, and in both verses in Matthew, Jesus set the bar for all of his disciples, including you and me. There is no place for self. Did you know wokeism cannot exist where self is not worshipped? You want to get rid of our woke society? Stop worshiping yourself. You want the title for my message? It is time to overcome self. During his second imprisonment by the Romans, about 63 years after Jesus' ascension, the Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the young Apostle Timothy. At the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Holy Spirit led Paul to describe the last days. We're going to have a prophetic message tonight and next week. It's all going to be by what Holy Spirit spoke 2,000 years ago. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the New American Standard, we read, "But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." It is time to overcome self. That's what worship was all about tonight. You laid your life at his altar. Don't take it back. It's better for him to live in you than for you to try to live without him. When we understand the Greek words Holy Spirit quickened Paul to use, it helps us to prepare for what is here and what is coming. So in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, we're going to switch to the King James Version, and some of you probably need to be risen from the grave because I'm using the King James Version. We read in the Greek, tuto ginosko, which means know this. Ginosko is the Greek imperative, means it's a command, do it. It means it's active. Pay attention now and as you move forward. He's telling the young apostle, you better pay attention to what Holy Spirit is going to say in the next few breaths. The next word is very familiar to some of you, last days. It's eschatos. We get our term eschatology from this word. It means something ultimate, something final. It means the last portion, like dessert last night. It means the end of the earth. It means the farthest point. We get the term eschatology, which means the study of last things, from the Greek word eschatos. Too many people are falsely studying the last things, and they're not preparing themselves to be his disciple in the last days, because it's all about self rather than the King of Glory. Eschatos hemera, last days. Paul was talking about what will take place in lost society in the final days, not the final hours. I've told you before that people say God created time so everything wouldn't happen all at once. You know, when angels show up all at once, it's because he's got a kairos time. He's got a time right then where they've been waiting for it. The last days began on the day of Pentecost, as described in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, with Holy Spirit being poured out at 9:30 in the morning on 33 AD, roughly. All of those numbers are in Scripture. In fact, if a day in the life is as 1,000 years, we just started the third day from Christ's ascension a couple decades ago. That's a whole other message that I'd love to give. Third day, study it in Scripture. It's powerful. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last days will continue from when it did on the day of Pentecost until Jesus comes back. We are in the last days. Well, that's going to destroy a lot of cessationism and theology that says all of these things are going to happen. Let's get back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because Paul tells us when you come to the end of days, he uses the word kalapos. We're going to study this word for a few minutes. It's translated as perilous. It means hard, difficult to bear, hurtful, wounding, biting, danger, or high risk. He says kalapos kyrios, dangerous or perilous times. And then he says enistamahi, meaning standing in the middle of something or completely surrounded by it, encumbered, surrounded, even trapped on every side. You know, when Matthew told a story when he wrote his gospel, he usually gave details. That's why he's longer than Mark. When Mark related the same story, he usually gave the most demonstrative example. Are you ready to be a demonstrative example for the King of Glory? I saw a head bob from Gen Z. I'm going to get to them sometime. He wants you to be a sign which will make people wonder who he is. He wants Holy Spirit so glorious in you. He did heart surgery on us tonight. So the glory of his presence will radiate from us and illuminate the world around us, but will cause us to be like the apostles when they went past the gate beautiful and he said, heal that dude. He really wants to do that through you and me. He's done it through some of us. He wants to do it for everyone who calls him Father, who everyone who lets him call them Papa. Kalapos Kyrios. Ennis to me, standing in the middle of something. Well, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, in the King James Version, it reads, and when he came to the other side into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so no man might pass by that way. Notice here there were two men coming out to meet Jesus, but we usually only talk about the Gadarene demoniac because we go back to the power demonstration of Mark. But Holy Spirit here led Matthew to use the plural of the Greek word kalopos. And he used the Greek adverb leon, meaning exceedingly or greatly. Exceedingly or greatly perilous, fierce. These were demon-possessed men. In the passage in Matthew 8, Holy Spirit is telling us exceedingly fierce is connected with the things devils, tombs, and impassable paths. Some of you think the path to your destiny is that way. So let's look at what Holy Spirit tells us from Mark's perspective in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Again, I'm going to try to read the King James. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling place among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. By reading Mark and Matthew's passage of the same story, we see exceedingly fierce times are connected with these things, devils. Four times tombs, which means death. Impassable paths. Unclean, and the Greek word here means an unclean sexual uncleanness. Not tameable, we see in verse 4 in the story from Mark. These people even brought wild animal tamers to try and tame this man, and they couldn't do it. Untamable. Crying and cutting themselves in torment. These are all associated with exceedingly fierce times. We're not going to read it, but in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 29 in the King James Version, Holy Spirit led Luke to write about the same incident. By the way, there's only one miracle recorded in all four Gospels. Do you know what one it is? The feeding of the 5,000. It's the only miracle in all four Gospels. Different message. So when we add Luke to Mark and Matthew, here's what exceedingly fierce times are connected with. Devils 2 times, tombs 5 times, impassable paths, bound meaning not free, not tameable, driven by demons, meaning someone so anxious they cannot stay in one place. Crying out and cutting, torment 2 times, and sexual uncleanness mentioned 2 times. You know, perhaps this man they were talking about, or the men that Matthew were talking about, had opened something in his mind which had become the entrance for demon powers to find their way into his life. Maybe he meditated on something wrong. Maybe he even looked at something wrong or he shouldn't have looked at. Or he had wed his mind to fantasize. That's rampant in our generations. Some way through his mind, uncleanness entered into his soul and his life. And when the unclean door was open, these spirits began coming into him. It's thought that a legion was 6,876 demons. That dude had a problem. So why did I digress on this trail to tell you about these demon-possessed people? See, outside of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the only time the Greek word kalopos is used is in connections with devils, demons, death, describing an environment which is exceedingly fierce, a place is so dangerous and filled with high risk, so it is impassable and no one wants to go that way. The entire region stayed away from where these 2 men were. Oh, by the way, the end of that story, they are the only ones Jesus said, go tell the world what I did for you. Everyone else, he said, don't tell anyone. See, when you do demonstrative works, they will go tell the world who Jesus is. Kalopos is associated with sexual uncleanness. It describes a situation which is out of control. In fact, it is so out of control, it cannot be tamed or brought under control. Kalopos describes people who cut or mutilate themselves. It describes someone who is tormented. Kalopos describes people who are bound and people who are so driven they have no peace. We all know them. This is what Holy Spirit meant when he gave Paul the revelation in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You have to keep all of these associations with the word kalopos in mind when you read 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to paraphrase it. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, know it emphatically. Locked into the last days, the final days when you can go no further, when you come to the last port, Paul said, perilous times or kalopos times shall come. I believe we're living in Calipos times. Paul describes the world as being a place, understanding the association with Calipos, where there will be demon activity, where people will have death on their minds. All you got to do is turn on the television and see it's all about murder, it's all about death. The world has become exceedingly fierce. We see things happening in the world today we have never seen happen. If you think I'm exaggerating, look what happened October 7th of last year in Israel. Demonized, exceedingly fierce, savage perversion, murder, and death. Sexual uncleanness. It seems we have hit an impasse, and no one knows how to pass through this time. In this last place we are, there is sexual uncleanness like never seen in the history of the world. By the way, pornography is not new. The ancient Roman city of Pompeii near modern Naples has pornography. It is not art. Your high school teachers, your grade school teachers, your college professors will tell you it is art. It is not. It is pornographic. It's portrayed all over the city walls. And it is nothing like today, where your children and your grandchildren are able to access pornography through the internet and their grade school libraries right here in Monroe County. Every single one of them. And they don't want you as parents and grandparents to know it's there. They are teaching with graphic, pornographic books that if I had one, I would be arrested for having child pornography. It's in the hands of your children and grandchildren. They're teaching them as young as five how to have good sex. And your tax dollars are supporting it. Are you going to sit there and let them do it? Or are you going to stop worshiping self? We are living in a day in which it seems all systems are out of control. They are so out of control, it seems they are untamable. And some people are going to be upset when the Lord moves, he's doing it now, and shakes the systems so that they're under his control. Believe me, a lot of churches are going to be upset when Father takes control because they're worshiping self. Things are so out of control, it seems they are untamable. It does not matter what Congress or the Senate do. It does not matter what anyone else does. It seems we have come into a situation which is untamable. New York is in one of the leads in this nation. Cutting is very interesting in connection with the word calipos. And cutting is rampant in the generations today, all over. It is not stress release, it's demonic. Don't have time to go into it, but that's what tattoos are tied back to the Old Testament. When you look at how tattoos were given, they cut the body. That doesn't mean you're going to hell because you got a tattoo. It just means it's rampant in our culture because we worship ourselves. We live in a tormented generation. It is a generation which may claim to be free, but it is the most bound generation in history. And a generation which has no peace. It is a driven generation. I want to talk to you for a second about the Gen Z youth. They are either all in with God or they are all out. There is no lukewarm. There is no middle road. They are either passionate for his presence, for his word, and who he has called them to be, and they're willing to die for him. They don't love themselves. Or they're way over here and it's all about me, just like all the other generations. There is a move of the Spirit right now in that under what I'm going to say 30, 25, 20 generation, the teens and up to there, where they are so passionate for the Lord when he says go, they go. Some of you know who Rhys Howells was. He was an intercessor in England that led a school in World War II, a school of intercessors, and they literally changed the course of World War II through their prayer. When the Lord said to Rhys, go someplace, he didn't say, well, let me see if I can fit it into my schedule. He went. Those intercessors got revelation of the plans of the enemy and released the angels of God to undo what shouldn't have been happening in the natural realm. The Allies should have lost the war, but God. I'm all for the Allies. But it took selfless people who were willing to go where he said to go and pray what he said to pray and speak what he said to speak. And that's where the Gen Z all-in people are today. May the Gen Zs in this house get aflame with Holy Spirit fire. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 in the King James, it says, this know also in the last days perilous times should come. The Greek word kalopos used here also is plural. Beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, Paul describes the characteristics of the society on earth just before the catching away of the church. I thought I was reading the newspapers when I read this passage. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, in the New American Standard, Paul ends all of his thoughts to Timothy with this warning, avoid such men as these. And he wasn't talking about the people in the world. He was talking about those of you sitting in your chairs, worshiping yourself more than you worship the Lord. He said, avoid such men as these. Brothers and sisters who so love themselves, the word of God can't move them. See, Holy Spirit is not trying to upset you. Some of you, I see it. He's trying to wake you up and prepare you for what is coming so you can stand against the darkness. Folks, this is our harvest field, Paul is going to describe to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why would Holy Spirit tell us all of this? He is speaking through Paul to a last days generation to prepare us. He does not want the ecclesia, which is Father's legislative remnant, you and I, to become a part of the scene on earth which will develop into the last of the last days. He wants us to be holy. You know what that means? Set apart. That's all holy means. Father is so set apart, he calls us, come away with me. He wants us to be so in love with him and so filled with him, wherever we go, he oozes out. And every once in a while, he'll say, lay your hands on or speak to, and he will pour out. We are a last days generation. The fivefold ministry today is a last days ministry Jesus gave to equip his remnant bride to stand, to do his work, and to manifest the kingdom of God on earth. Since 300 AD, when the Romans took over Christianity, the church has been content to sit in pews and stink. And let the man of God, now we can have a woman of God because we realize the scripture says it's okay, do all the work. This is not what Jesus did. He said there would be so much done, you will do greater works, more numerous works than anything he did, because all of us have died to self and allow Holy Spirit to flow through us. Amen. And don't get me talking, girl. She flirted with me last night. So let's look at 2 Timothy. We're going to look at 2 Timothy 3. We'll go through 4, and eventually we'll make it to 14. We're going to see what is going to unfold in the world. Say where it's going to happen. In the world. Not the ecclesia. Not the church. This is not going to happen to those who have died to themselves. And it's going to happen just before the last days. Again, we're going to look at the Greek words Holy Spirit led Paul to use here, beginning in verse 2. He says anthropos, which means man. We get our word anthropology from this plural Greek word anthropos. This is just not a small group of people. Holy Spirit is speaking of an across-the-board general picture of society at the end of the age and the last days. What does Holy Spirit say to humanity will be? He says phoatos. It's a plural word meaning I am, not the great I am. And describes people who are self-absorbed or self-centered. A lover of self refers to people at the end of the age becoming totally self-centered. Hey. Most of us are young enough to remember Frank Sinatra. He did it his way, but it was not Yahweh. It was not the way Father wanted, and he led a whole generation into selfism. And my generation followed that generation. And you're either in my generation or younger if you're in this room. Some of you online may be in the generation before me, and you can be set free too. God is not a respecter of generations. He loves us all. Philatos is a plural word meaning lovers of their own self, and it comes from a Greek word we are all familiar with, philos. The plural of phileo, meaning friendship or to love someone else. Not that. To love you. In Matthew 26:49 and Mark 14:45, phileo is the root Greek word used to describe the kiss of friendship Judas gave Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Think Holy Spirit knows what's going on in the world? Most of us just read it and pass right on like I did until someone said, look at the Greek. And they didn't mean the gambling king. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Paul is telling us men will be lovers of their own selves. Women will be lovers of their own selves. Oh, Lord, deliver us from the Super Bowl halftime show. This is a great picture of people so consumed with themselves, they kiss themselves as the highest and greatest priority in their lives. You probably all can relate to someone who does that. And if you stand in front of a mirror in the morning, repent. I'm serious. I need you all to get this stuff because Jesus needs you all to do the work of the ministry. Then Holy Spirit tells us people are phileagros, or phileaguros, meaning covetous. Again, this Greek word begins with phileo and is connected to the Greek word meaning silver, or a lover of material possessions. Phileagros includes the implication such people operate from an inability to wait for something they want. This is someone who is so in love with material possessions, they do whatever they need to do to get what they want right now. My grandmother used to tell me about that when I was 5 and 6 and 7 years old. She would make donuts the old way. There was no microwave. There was no instant coffee pot. She said, you know, I rode in a buggy drawn by horses. And then I rode in a car that had to back up the hill so the gas would flow into the carburetor. There were no fuel pumps in her day. And I grew up in a day when and when and when and when. And then all of a sudden she said, now there's toasters, now there's microwaves, and oh, we just put a man on the moon. She was 65 when that happened. Things are happening so fast so we can have ourselves pampered, provided for, and not have to worry about, well, dinner's going to be in a half hour. Just look at the slogans, have it your way. I'm not going to say who it is. I know who it is. It's all about get what you want and get it now. And the body of Christ sucks it right in. Again, this Greek word is plural, telling us that it will be a widespread problem. Do you know how long it takes to eat a Big Mac? 3/4 of a mile. There's 1 3/4 of a mile from my house. I pick up the wrappers all the time because you got to have it your way. I don't want that paper in my car. Al's yard looks good. Oh, look, a tree. Oh, missed it. I did a little spring cleaning this morning. Yes, we have to be light, but this is serious, folks, because we're all caught up in it. This problem will be so widespread of needing to have it now. By the way, this includes the credit card debt problem. I heard an article the other day that the average American has $6,500 of credit card debt. The credit card companies call us a freeloader. You know what that means? It's paid on time. We've never paid a penny of interest. That's called being a wise steward and not living in tomorrow, hoping yesterday will make up for it. These peoples are lover of self because they are the center of their own world and they need more cash and they need more creature comforts. Next, Holy Spirit tells us they will be boasters. The Greek word here is eladzon, which means a braggart or a boaster, and comes from the Greek word for vagrant. Did you know that boasters are vagrants? But they look well off. This word describes people who are not really concerned with truth as they are with changing the facts to meet whatever they need the facts to be. We call it spin, folks. The Bible calls it sin. This is the removal of all moral absolutes. Do you know that your public schools today teach there is no absolute? In my generation, they tried to tell us God was dead. So he showed up and did the Jesus movement and a few other things, did signs, wonders, and miracles, and healed people all around the world. And I don't know what happened to the people who wrote the headline. Hopefully they got saved. Moral values have been replaced with relevancy. Floating moral values. These people fix truth to be whatever they need it to be to advance their cause. Just look at Black Lives Matters, run by 2 lesbians who were witches. One's in prison now. Yes, every life matters. But we got so caught up with the movement, we forgot to look at what the movement was doing. They were embezzling money from everyone who sowed into them. God help us. We see it all over the media where they're spinning the truth to be whatever it needs to be so the narrative of the person looks like it is the absolute truth. Give me my Bible. It is the only absolute truth. Jesus is the truth. And apart from him, there is no truth. Holy Spirit says this is going to become a major force in the last days. Do you think we're in the last days? They're going to spin whatever they need spun to get you to walk in deception and their seduction. Holy Spirit says people will be proud. The Greek word he used here was huperanophanos, coming from two Greek words meaning above and to manifest. Huperanophanos means appearing to be above others, haughty, proud, or to be snooty. That's a term we can all relate to, especially if you got kids. To summarize what Holy Spirit has revealed to us so far, Keith, if you want to get the folks to come up. These people are in love with themselves. They are caring for themselves. Even though they have the means to help others, they only spend it on themselves. They are fixing the truth to be whatever they need the truth to be, and they are intellectually snooty. I have a lot of education, and I am appalled at what is coming out of the halls of universities and institutions of higher learning. Next, Holy Spirit says they are blasphemers. And he uses the Greek word blasphemos, which means crude, vulgar speech. It is not referring to blaspheming God or blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's referring to the common, everyday, vulgar language. Have you noticed in the last three decades how vulgar our world language is? All over the place. We were watching a PG movie the other day, and we just looked at each other and said, nope, thanks. They just had to slide some vulgarity in. I call it their gratuitous vulgarity to make sure they've set their quota for the day. People use vulgar language without even thinking about it. I'm asking Holy Spirit to capture my tongue and my lips. I have a problem. It's real easy to fall into what the world is doing around me. But God. The managers I worked with, they were my peers, didn't like being around me. And they would turn and apologize in meetings for things they said, because I would say, I don't need to hear that. The Bible tells us just before Jesus comes, right before the end of the age, all of these changes will take place. I don't have time to finish. The good news comes next week. Ron's graciously given me his time next week. So kids won't have to sit through it because it'll be youth church. But they can watch it on the video. So let's summarize where we are up to here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. People will be self-lovers. They will spend all their cash on themselves. They will stretch the truth to fill their needs. They will be intellectually snooty, and the speech of society will no longer be respectful. It will be crude, rude, and vulgar. The worship team had no idea where we were going. When I got home last night, I sent Keith a note and said, I think I want to end with where we already were earlier today. So I'm inviting you to stand and to worship the Lord through this and let Holy Spirit do a reformation in your soul, your mind, your intellect, and your emotion. In Hebrew thinking, your mind is here. It's called lab, L-A-B-E, and it's connected with your soul, and it forms your conscience. And when your conscience is not clear, the world takes over. So, Father, as we worship you tonight, Jesus, as we invite you to come and draw us closer, Holy Spirit, hover over us and do a deep work in our heart. So we will have a conscience so clear. You can pour your glory through us to touch the world around us. Let's worship.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you, desperate for you. I surrender.
Something you're holding on to, surrender it to Him now.
Drench my soul as mercy and grace unfold, a hunger and thirst, a hunger and thirst. With arms Jesus, breathe.
Some of us will hang up front if you want prayer. If you meant what you just sang, I want you to pray with me. Jesus, I surrender. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Father, I surrender. It is not about me. Forgive me for getting in your way. It is all about your cross, your ascension, and your glory. I surrender my heart to you. I release my soul to your hands. And I say, open the scroll you wrote about me. Speak it over my life once again. Have your way in me. I surrender, Lord. Again, if you would like prayer for agreement to break something, come up front. There are refreshments in the fellowship hall. If you're staying, stay fellowship. Hear what the Lord has done in your sister or your brother's heart. The rest I send this week in total surrender to the King of Glory so he can have his way and live through you in what used to be your everyday. Let it become now the miraculous presence of the Lord in your lives. I love you all. Have a blessed week.